Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our second reading to the 30th chapter of Job. Job chapter 30, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. But now they that are younger than I would have me in derision, whose fathers I would have disdained to have set with the dogs of my flock. Yea, whereto might the strength of their hands profit me, in whom old age was perished? For want and famine they were solitary, fleeing into the wilderness in former time, desolate and waste, who cut up mallows by the bushes and juniper roots for their meat. They were driven forth from among men. They cried after them as after a thief, to dwell in the cliffs of the valleys, in caves of the earth and in the rocks. Among the bushes they brayed, under the nettles they were gathered together. They were children of fools, yea, children of base men. They were viler than the earth, and now I am their song. I am their byword. They abhor me. They flee far from me, and spare not to spit in my face. Because he hath loosed my cord and afflicted me, they have also let loose the bridle before me. Upon my right hand rise the youth. They push away my feet, and they raise up against me the ways of their destruction. They mar my path. They set forward my calamity. They have no helper. They came upon me as a wide breaking in of waters. In the desolation they rolled themselves upon me. Terrors are turned upon me. They pursue my soul as the wind, and my welfare passeth away as a cloud. And now my soul is poured out upon me. The days of affliction have taken hold upon me. My bones are pierced in me in the night season, and my sinews take no rest. By the great force of my disease is my garment changed. It bindeth me about as the collar of my coat. He hath cast me into the mire, and I am become like dust and ashes. I cry unto thee, and thou goest not, and thou dost not hear me. I stand up, and thou regardest me not. Thou art become cruel to me. With thy strong hand thou opposest thyself against me. Thou liftest me up to the wind. Thou causest me to ride upon it, and dissolvest my substance. For I know that thou wilt bring me to death, and to the house appointed for all living. Howbeit, he will not stretch out his hand to the grave, though they cry in his destruction. Did I not weep for him that was in trouble? Was not my soul grieved for the poor? When I looked for good, then evil came unto me. When I waited for light, there came darkness. My bowels boiled and rested not. The days of my affliction prevented me. I went mourning without the sun. I stood up, and I cried in the congregation. I am a brother to dragons, and a companion to owls. My skin is black upon me, and my bones are burned with the heat. My harp also is turned to mourning, and my organ into the voice of them that weep. May God add His blessing to the reading and to the hearing of His most holy word. Well, again, it seems fairly obvious what Job is doing here. In the last chapter, we heard that he called to mind those former days when he was honored, when he was respected. Now he gives a catalog of his present days, and they are not as those were. He laments his current estate. You know what I found interesting as I read through this is the detail of Job's catalog. Do you not get that? That Job seems very much acutely aware of his own personal difficulties. So much so that one is caused to wonder, and I'll not be dogmatic on this, but one is caused to wonder whether or not Job is doing himself any good by being so very acquainted with every one of his afflictions. Think about that for a moment. Think about those, or perhaps even yourselves, how is it with you when you are able to rattle off 15 or 20 things wherein you are afflicted, as opposed to 15 or 20 things wherein you might find cause for giving thanks? how are you affected by such attitudes as make for such a scrutiny as that? I think really to ask that question is to answer it. And I think that having Job's attitude here is, well, it contributes to his difficulty. It contributes to his afflictions. He's so very much in tune with every ache and pain, it seems to me. The second thing that I wanted to point out here is that Job imbibes himself in a little bit of haughtiness and holier-than-thou-ism, especially when he speaks of the youths that are now deriding him for his affliction. And he speaks of their fathers as those who I wouldn't even have in my group of dogs. Stings a little bit. Speaks of Job's bitterness as he has gone down this way. It is not perhaps a way he would have spoken early on. But again, Job is wearing down. And so he has fallen into complaint and disdain and even some sour grapes against some of his past acquaintances, because their sons now rise up and fail to do him honor. Not only do they fail to do him honor, they add to his afflictions. And so Job adds to them his increasing disdain. So that's a second fault that I find here with Job. And then the third fault that I find with Job here is that Job seems to care a little bit too much what other people think. He has not committed his case unto the Lord and been satisfied with the Lord's judgments. Rather, he has now begun to level his blows, not just against the Lord, but against others who have thought less of him than Job thinks they should have thought. And so we see then how much Job really does care about what they thought of him and the respect and esteem that he desires. You see, these are the impurities. Can I put it this way? This is the scum that's rising to the top of the boiling of the bones. Job is in the furnace of affliction. His bones are now being boiled, and we're seeing this scum rise to the top so that the Lord may skim it off in his due time. So Job does not behave himself then here in chapter 30 in a commendable fashion. Again, we have seen Job go in and out of commendation, right? In and out of blameworthiness. In this chapter, we see him the more blameworthy as he is intimately aware of every one of his afflictions, to the effect that it only adds to his complaint and dissatisfaction. Secondly, he imbibes himself in a little bit of haughtiness as he thinks of his former estate and now what's going on. And then third, he cares way too much about what people think of him rather than committing his case to the Lord. Whenever we hear him in this chapter speak of his commitment of his case to the Lord, he does so with a preemptive cutting off of that presenting his case to say something like, he's not hearing me. He won't hear me. It's doing me no good to present myself to him. So he has become impatient with God himself in this chapter. All right. Well, one more chapter, I guess, from Job. And we're going to hear some very interesting things, Lord willing, next week in chapter 31, where we will hear Job actually turn those guns upon himself for some self-accusation, some self-malediction. It'll be an interesting chapter. And then in chapter 32, we begin with the speech of Elihu. So we are coming then to the next section of the book next week. All right, well, let's stand and continue praising.